This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
A clip you want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
Well, the clip of the day, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever, is going to be from Lane Kiffin. Clip of the day. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, check him out online at fmsbank.com. This was Lane Kiffin at halftime of the LSU-Clemson game, which by then they had already... really, I'm not playing the clip from the locker room. It was too much to ask Michael to edit out. It was a leaked video of his halftime speech, Mike, and it was just so much. So I didn't send it. You're welcome. I made your life easier today.
But I still have to listen to this soulless cretin say words.
Well, let's hear from him. Here it is.
We'll make adjustments. We got to play better in the second half. We can't give away something like the first turnover, man. This ball should be, whatever, 38-0.
Thank you, coach.
Yep.
Good math.
Everything to say, not say. Imagine if we had pro players.
Did you hear the end there? That's the meat of the clip, Mike. Imagine if we had pro players. Are they going to play? Is he actually going to play? I mean, he held him out because there's so much smoke going on, and I think he's a little smarter than maybe you give him credit for. He's not going to be 100%
dumb.
He's not going to be 100% reckless on this and just play him, and then because you played him, the SEC could use that if they do drop the hammer and say, well, now you can't compete for a conference championship this year. Because LSU, Mike, they might be doing just that. Do you actually think the SEC would do that? Would push LSU out of the SEC? There's no way.
There's no way, but I think they're making a point.
Trying to, but at some point, what's your point? Hey, we're considering it. Don't play those players until this is resolved. Throughout the entire NCAA, I think Lane Kiffin it'd be very risky to play him. Because if you play him and nothing happens, but then like 5 weeks later, oh, hey, yeah, we're able to get this approved and you can't play NFL players. And if you did, yeah, the conference can take actions against you. I don't know if he'll risk it. Because you know the ultimate mic drop is for Lane Kiffin, who left Ole Miss in such a bad way, for him to just turn right around, make a ton more money, and go win it all with LSU. And then he'd be the king of college football, Mike. He'd be the villain, but he'd be the king. So here's the viral clip. Somebody leaked it. It seems like this was on purpose. He said, all right, guys, we started 7-8 months ago, whatever it was, when I asked you to work hard, blah, blah. Do you feel good about what happened? Because they were up big, 31-3 at halftime. He said, do you feel good about what happened? And then he said, who gives a blank what happened? That's what's supposed to happen. And ain't no blank celebrations for that. They're blank soft. We've got to show them again. It doesn't matter what plays they run. It doesn't matter what they do on offense. I don't give a blank. You send them a blanking message of who's on their schedule. They have to play you, and don't think we're letting up late. So that's all you can see in the video is feet. I'm guessing those are Lane's feet, but somebody's just filming it, and you know that was on purpose, right? That was on purpose. That was film this, but make it look like you did it in a sneaky way so that I didn't approve it and then leaked it out. Well, LSU went on to win 51-10. Dominant on both sides of the ball.
Clemson's coaches, I don't know what his contract is, but they're going to have to buy him out. Yeah, I don't think they win more than four games.
He's a dinosaur in the game of college football now, Mike. He doesn't want to do the whole transfer thing and all that, and that's the only way you can compete in that level. Now, we're going to see, like UNC here, they don't do a lot of transfer stuff, although their quarterback's a transfer. But they might realistically be able to do something against the grain and compete at the Big Sky FCS level. But at this level, if you're not, I mean, it's not to say Clemson's not getting transfers in. He's not as open about talking about NIL and transfer portal stuff as Lane Kiffin is. Lane's got a big old sign. Come here, get paid. We'll figure it out. We're going to do everything slightly right up against the illegal side of things, and we're going to get you here. And now he's got a couple of NFL players sitting and waiting for their opportunity to play this year.
I mean, there's definitely probably a Clippers situation where he's like, well, we'll find you some sponsors.
Yes, that's 100% what's going on.
I mean, I think most colleges are doing that if they can. But he's probably doing it more.
Yeah, and he's pretty open about it, Mike. Michigan dropped out of the top 25. Oregon dropped down to 6. Boise State did not get in. You thought they might crack the top 25, Michael. They did not.
Yeah, it's harder to move up after a loss.
Yeah, and that's how little they think of Boise State at this point, is they moved Oregon down 4
spots.
What
did they do with Michigan?
Michigan's out.
Yeah, they should be.
They're out of the top 25.
Where's Washington?
19. Where were they?
Really? They didn't drop them that much? Washington played terribly. They were number 17.
Okay. I guess they didn't think that much of their win. They thought very little of their win against
Washington.
Yeah,
I thought very little of their win, too. They played terribly.
So, Ohio State, Georgia, Notre Dame, Texas, Indiana, Oregon, Miami, LSU at 8. LSU was 5, weren't they?
They're being punished.
Why did they move down 3
spots?
It's like
that gal last year who, even though Florida lost, she moved them up.
Oregon was 2nd in the AP top. I thought they were 2nd. They're saying they were 3rd.
That might have been the coach's poll, but they were number 2.
Yeah. Top 25 showed Oregon was at 3. They're now at 6. Miami, some of these don't make sense. Oh, no, I'm reading it wrong. It's the amount of votes that they got for a 1 spot. So Oregon was 2 and they dropped 6. LSU, I don't know where they were. Oh, okay, excuse me, Mike, they moved up 3 spots. There it is. Just use your brain. They moved up 3 spots. Okay, I was very confused by that for a second. Ohio State stays the same. Georgia climbed up to 2nd. Notre Dame's at 3rd. We'll see. What are the big games this weekend as far as ranked?
You have Ohio State, Texas.
And that's going to be on
Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK, but I don't remember the time.
That's the game. 5:30 on ABC or right here on KFK. Texas is a 1.5-point favorite.
Wasn't Oregon number 1? I mean, I'm sorry, Ohio State number 1?
Yeah.
And they're
dog.
I mean, it's tough to play. Was it Arlington? It's tough to
play
there, but
they're playing at Austin.
I don't know.
Playing at Texas Memorial Stadium this weekend. Texas is a 1.5-point. That might be one I would lean heavily on Ohio State in that game.
In what way?
To win the game. Just take them to win the game.
I'm going to take Texas.
Is that the only ranked game going on? Like between two rinks?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Tennessee plays Georgia Tech. SMU has UC Davis. Utah State has Washington. You better destroy Utah State, Mike.
Yeah, because they look bad.
You better, yeah, don't mess around
Washington with Washington played like a 6-6 team. I don't have confidence. Like, I didn't have confidence that they were in the top 25 because I don't have confidence in that thing, but they did not play well. And yeah. I think some of it is Washington State and some of it's rivalry and some of it's they're not as good as people think they are.
So we have the biggest game in college football that will be on KFK this weekend.
So listen to it.
Yeah,
listen to it and watch a different game.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect idea. 16 minutes after the hour, we'll talk more border war aftermath with CSURams.com. Mike Brohard, he'll join us in just a moment. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Stay in the know.
I drink and I know things.
Listen to Good Morning NoCo, weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Twenty minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, joining me now, Rams insider for CSURams.com, Mike Brohard. Mike, my man, what a fun weekend it was for Colorado State.
Did you have fun?
I did. You asked me if I had fun, and I really appreciate that. Meant a lot to me, and I did. I had a fun time. That was good.
We're all about trying to make sure that everybody's having fun.
No, I had a great time. I chased Kevin down to the field, and Kevin, I gotta say, man, his endurance. He is fast. He was like lightning running down on the field. He's done that a few times, so I was out of breath, but that was a good time.
He's quicker than you think.
He really is. Yeah, he was moving fast, but what a time down there, Mike. One of the things that stood out to me, like Haas Haney, just a celebrity instantly. Fans were lining up to take pictures with this dude. One guy standing right next to me, younger kid, and he's like, "Oh man, I'm sorry, are you in line for pictures?" And I was like, "Well, not now, but I will be soon." But it was just kind of a special moment to see fans come together and just surround that quarterback.
Yeah, it was a heck of a debut, wasn't it? So the last time we had a quarterback throw for 5 touchdowns in his debut, it was a loss to Hawaii at home. So it's kind of nice to see it in a win. The neat thing was is it wasn't just the 5 touchdown passes. I thought for a kid that had only started one game before and didn't even get to see it all the way through because he got hurt, he was very composed, very deliberate in the offense, very much in command of everything that Price Tracy wanted to do with that offensive game plan. And I think that spoke volumes about that kid.
I think it did, too. I tell you, Coach Mora talked about this. Mike, I think you probably asked him the question when it was 14-13, you know, what he really liked from his team. You know, talking about Haas, but everybody on this team, just the way they were resilient. You know, that was a scary moment because maybe in years past you're wondering, okay, is Wyoming about to take over some momentum here? But for Wyoming then to score, get to 35 points, essentially, it was cool to see them respond when Wyoming was kind of trying to knock on the door.
Yeah, so there's a fan I've known for a long time, since back in my reporter days. And he was like, "We've got 2 turnovers, and we're only up by 1 point." And I go, "Yeah, but you're up by 1 point." And that was the key moment, I thought. So, yeah, they get the touchdown, and then CSU's offense, if you remember correctly, goes 3 and out the next drive.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when Umar picks off his pass. Then it's 3 straight touchdowns. So that was a response that you needed to see from this team to find out, I mean, really, how fast is it growing? And it's grown up fairly quickly under Jim Moore, right? To where they didn't get flustered by the moment. They didn't start getting down. I know some fans were. But, you know, the next thing you know, that 1 point game, it's a comfortable 35-13 victory. And then you get a 4th turnover. I mean, the defense was phenomenal, right? I mean, you held that team to less than 300 yards of total offense, which doesn't happen a lot in today's game of college football. You created 4 turnovers, 3 of them interceptions. you did not allow a third or a fourth down conversion. Those are impressive numbers.
What was the of those? What was the most? Because I tell you that no third down conversions. That is crazy to me. What was the most impressive one of those stats you just mentioned for defense?
To me, that's great. I mean, this team last year, you go back, and it's not this team. You can't. I guess you can't say this team anymore because it's completely different. But if you go back to the year prior, there were struggles on third down, both offensively and defensively. You shut out a team on third down. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was such an impressive stat. And as you mentioned, too, it's not just the five touchdowns with Haas Haney, but just the way he ran this offense that, I mean, for Price Tracy, the movement on this offense is exciting to see. And, man, it makes it easy. Mike, you know, I love this. All the hot, nasty speed surrounding this quarterback. There's a lot of options. Maybe not a go-to, and that might be a good thing, as Jim Mora kind of talked about. Like, we got a bunch of dudes that on any given weekend could light it up, but that's such a luxury when you have all that speed on the field.
The interesting thing to me about the receiver room is so you look at RJ Vick, he had 14 snaps he took all of last year against Wake Forest, and he comes out and has a game like he did. The rest of the receivers, I mean, the fan base here is pretty familiar with Tommy Maher, right?
Mm-hmm.
But outside of him, you don't have anybody that has the experience of being a number one. You don't have anybody on that receiving staff that has had a ton of reps. That's a group that really can grow throughout this season, and you just saw a touch of it. The interesting part to me offensively, and it wasn't uncommon. I went back and looked. There were three games last year where CSU had at least 10 guys catch a ball. But it also wasn't uncommon at UConn. But the thing that was different about UConn was that Skylar Bell, who had 101 catches, who was a Biletnikoff Award finalist, and they still did that. They had games where they had 12 different guys catch balls. They had three other games where they had 11, and that was in the 12 regular season games. So I think that ball distribution is something that CSU fans can get used to.
Well, and yeah, one of those guys that caught a pass was the quarterback, was Haas Haney in that first drive. Mike, you've talked to Coach and everybody about this now. What's going through everybody's brains there when Terrence Smith decides, you know what, I'm throwing it up anyway? It seemed like there was a couple of defenders in that area. Somehow, some way, even with pass interference, Haas Haney pulls it down.
Okay, so the best response was Haas himself admitting that's a lucky catch. because it didn't seem like there were two defenders there. There were two defenders. And he got interfered with, right? That was clear. The guy had already thrown the flag, but... yeah, that was the second time, I think, in the game. That was the first time of two times that a Wyoming person had a ball in their hands, it popped out, and a CSU person caught it, right? Because it happened. That's how Diamandi got his interception.
Is that one of those cases, on that play specifically, on the Haas Haney catch, is it where you're going, hey, Terrence Smith, next time don't throw that ball, but also, hey, it worked out?
I think Terrence got the ball and was like, I'm throwing it no matter what. And then in the motion of throwing, he was probably like, oh, I didn't see both of those guys.
No, it was crazy. And in that moment, there was just something that hit. And I know we got a long season ahead of us, Mike, and there's going to be plenty of these conversations. But in that moment, I looked at Haas Haney as like, oh, he's not just a quarterback. He's a football player. It's like that line, remember the Titans. We got ourselves a football player. He was exciting to watch. Even he wasn't perfect, but even in some of those moments where he wasn't perfect, he's still exciting.
He's an athletic kid. That's what you're going to. He's an athlete. He can do a lot of things. They will not ask him to go, you know, play secondary, and they won't ask him to catch many passes, I don't think. But you will see him be able to extend plays and create things. The way that they can move him, as accurate as he is on the run and rolling out, is dynamic for an offense when you can have a quarterback who can do that.
Mike, I asked our friend, our mutual friend Kevin Lytle this, but I want to ask you. You know, I'm saying, hey, are we still like cautiously optimistic, or do we look at that 35-13 win? You were a 3-point favorite, and you win that way. Do we say, oh no, this, we're all in? New era arrived. It's go time. This Rams team. It's going to be a tough one to beat all year.
You still got to build, though, right? I mean, it was an impressive victory, and it's a good victory. I know it's a CSU team that still thinks there's a lot of things that they left out on the field that they can do better. Another aspect to me about this week's game, I know they're playing Southern Utah, and they're an FCS team, and everybody thought, well, thank God, we do not have to play Air Force in that option attack. Nope, you've got to play Southern Utah in their option attack, and that's a team that rushed for 386 yards. You're going to see a different style of offense. You're going to see how mature this defense is coming together, right? There were a lot of new starters on the field for CSU. Offensively, I think it was 10 out of 11. Only Philip Ocon was a returning starter. That entire line had not started a game together in mass. There's a lot of room for growth. So, yeah, I think you should be excited about what you saw because you are starting at a more elevated point at the beginning of the season. But, yeah, there's still places where you can see this team grow.
It was interesting, too, as you know, Mike, with the Boise State-Oregon game, very similar to what happened 2 years ago. Boise State loses a close game. That set the table for them the rest of the way to ultimately get into the playoffs. That just goes to show me, hey, now more than ever, I feel confident. And I know Jim Mora talked about this, like the path to the playoffs. We can get there through the Pac-12. Certainly seems like it's right there for the taking for at least one team. Certainly Boise State looks like the team to beat, but we know they're on the schedule down the road. Things could work out very interestingly for Colorado State.
They could work out very interesting for Colorado State. I mean, the Memphis-Boise State game is going to be important.
Yeah.
And who gets that like group of six nod, that will be your definite clear leader, whoever wins that game coming out. If it's Boise State, CSU eventually has a chance to knock them off, correct?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Mike, I thought it was cool, too, at the end of the game in the media room post-game press conference, seeing, you know, Coach Mora, seeing his entire family just pour in. That was kind of surreal because we all know the celebrity side of the Mora family. It was just kind of a cool moment. And I know they were all pumped up, giving him an applause and the players an applause. That was fun to see.
It was, yeah, it's different than most people ever see in a post-game press conference. But it was cool. It was a really cool moment for the Mora family. Jim never says it's about him, but you could tell it was special and emotional. It was his dad and his mom, and it was funny because, like, the press conference is over, and I'm standing in the doorway with Jim's mom, and I go, do you need back in? And she goes, no, I'm just waiting for my husband. And I go, well, I think there's about three or four people waiting to interview him. And she goes, why do people still want to talk to him? Well, it's kind of a neat story. If you were columnist at that game, and a couple columnists I know went up there to do that, you know, to do that story, it's generational football. And then you look at the other part. I mean, Trey's on Jim's staff, right? So there was three generations of Morris coaching, you know?
Yeah, no, it was
cool. That's kind of a neat story.
Yeah, no question. How many times a day when he's in public do you think he hears somebody come up to him and say playoffs, Mike, realistically? That's got to get old.
I'm going to say a lot less than you think because, one, he didn't say it. It was his dad.
Well, that's who I was referencing.
Oh, you mean his
yes,
dad?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how much.
Well, it happened in the elevator when I was in there, so I would imagine it happens all the time.
But was it somebody in his family?
No, it was a dude behind me, one of the pushing like a food cart kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he just said, yeah, wow, that's Coach Mora, playoffs. And Coach just kind of acted like he didn't hear him. But I was thinking, like, how many times does he hear that when he's in public?
And maybe that's the truth, is he never hears it because his brain just turned off that comment.
Yeah, he probably should.
I mean, everybody knows that clip. Yeah.
Yeah. Mike, appreciate you as always, man. We'll look to catch up with you next week.
You have a lovely day, sir.
All right, you too. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Yeah, seriously, the guy behind me in the elevator, he's like a food guy. So he's waiting to get out at like the fourth floor or whatever. Coach walks in, and Jim Mora's there, and he's like, wow, that's Coach Mora. Playoffs. And he says it like in that way, and the family just kind of looked down. I don't know. I just thought it was like an awkward moment. They were fine about it. They didn't say anything negative. But he probably hears that all the time. Dude, that's a famous clip. That's one of the more famous clips in all of sports.
You know, people remember that. What they don't remember is him bringing the Saints back from mediocrity. Like, he made the Saints good. Didn't win a playoff game, but he made them good.
But they remember playoffs, Mike.
Yeah.
That's what it's
unfortunate because, like, he gets, you know, that, but, like, he had a bunch of good teams.
He was pretty good, yeah, with New Orleans, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, and then he had a couple of playoff runs with the Colts, but not overly successful there.
Was it two playoff runs with the Colts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he lost to the Tennessee Titans in the AFC divisional round in 1999 and lost to the Dolphins in the AFC wildcard game in the year 2000.
So he has... I don't think he has any wins because I think the Colts were first-round bye.
Did not win. Yeah, he went to the wild card a lot, lost them. But like you said, did bring the Saints up and certainly a good football family. And it was cool to see all the Morris stepping into the press room. That was cool. 35 minutes after the hour, let's wrap up the weekend that was. How we feeling? I saw the Denver Post put this out. More impressive win. Was it CU's win over Georgia Tech or CSU's win over Wyoming? And we'll answer that on the other side. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I dig it. Welcome back into the show. I want to shout out to Lemons Heating and Cooling, HVAC contractor in Greeley. Free estimates are available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. I am a customer of theirs. I needed help with my heater. I needed help with my air conditioner all in 1 year. So it was rough. Luckily, we call Lemons Heating and Cooling and they take care of it quickly for us. So again, lemonsheatingandcooling.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So the more impressive win, it's a good question. Denver Post asked it. It's CU's over Georgia Tech. It's that win because I'm holding out hope for Wyoming. I think it's going to get interesting there pretty soon. Get the tight ends involved or else it's going to be trouble on offense. But the Buffs were 6.5-point dogs on the road. You got a bunch of weird stuff going on around the Buffs and Coach Prime. To go into enemy territory, although for Coach Prime, there's a lot of friends there. I think that one is the better win. CSU beating, it's a rivalry game. That's big. I think CSU's all teams are better than I thought they were going to be so far. Well, maybe not. Well, maybe not all teams. Let's just leave it at that. It was CU's for sure. You go on the road, you're almost, you know, almost a 7-point dog and everything going on. See, that was impressive that they were able to win. That seems like a lifetime ago, Michael, that they played on Thursday. Why does it seems like a long time ago? Cuz it was just so crazy this weekend. Action-packed.
Yeah. We had that remote on Friday. Then you have all these games that mm-hmm. happen. And then you have Monday. And, you know, Monday just kind of throws... It feels like Monday. It's actually Tuesday.
It feels like Monday today.
Everything has been thrown off.
It threw
there
me off.
There was a college football game on Sunday. A couple of them.
Sunday night, too. Yeah, the SMU... Monday night. See, I'm way off. SMU game was last night. That was on Monday night. Yeah, I actually had my brain kind of scattered, to be honest with you. So this weekend will be...
What else is new?
This weekend will be a lot more calm. Faith says, CU had the better win, I think. Was anyone expecting Wyoming to be good? I wasn't expecting Wyoming to be good, and I wasn't necessarily expecting CSU to be good. So if we had to do a whole show local rankings... I'm going to go bottom of the barrel right now is UNC. Next, Wyoming. Next is Air Force. You beat Dos Equis. Next is CSU and number one in the local standings, Mike. Is that a thing we're going to do every week? You want to do that every Monday?
Number one is the Denver Broncos by default.
That's not... God, we almost...
Are we just doing college?
Yes!
Okay, so I would say...
Right?
Yeah, I would say number one, CU.
I already did this. You don't do your own. You
Picks
already
on
screwed.
Tuesday, everybody knows
the
that.
Broncos. I got to insert them into the conversation.
Although I'm getting excited about that Monday night game. Yes, it's just college.
I'm just saying, like, it would be CU.
Because they don't do rankings don't matter in the NFL, so we can't do rankings.
Yeah, so we go CU.
I already did that.
And then CSU.
I already did that.
And Air Force.
I already did that.
Now, I'm gonna change things up a little bit. I'm going to go UNC, then Wyoming.
But UNC's 0-2.
Yeah, but they played a good team.
Well, we'll get to put that one straight up against each other this weekend then. How about that?
Yeah. And whoever wins that game wins the conference of losers.
Is UNC gonna be okay? Now Kenny Luth left that game. I think he's banged up, but I don't think he's hurt. I don't think he's injured.
I just worry UNC's defense was very Swiss cheesy.
Not anything like they were last year. Their defense was much better last year, Mike.
I'm hoping that they can make some adjustments and do well, because right now my 7-5 record is looking 0-2.
It's not looking great. Now, I didn't think that they would beat South Dakota, but I did have them. I had them at 1-1. At this
point. I'm just going to stop. You know what? Maybe I'll pick UNC to lose every game, and then I can unjinx them.
They are. I don't have a line on this game yet, but someone posted that they were at least 20-point dogs. Faith says Kenny's good. Okay, that's good news. Jack Zeebell, my guy. We'll be talking to him tomorrow. I know he didn't play. Did he suit up? Do we even know if he suited up? Because that's a big one. That's maybe their best player is their center. Now they lose to South Dakota 38-23. They did cover the spread, Mike. So they made it interesting. There for a moment, when UNC scored first, that was a nice little drive, Mike. 8 plays for 85 yards. Mathias Price had a good run. Kenny Luth's running the ball too. We're going to see him do that a lot. And then got the long 54-yard touchdown pass to Olsen. That was a nice play. And I thought, okay, this team is ready for the challenge ahead. Justin Ginn. Is it Ginn or Gwynn? I always say it wrong. Ginn? He had 7 carries, 28 yards. He had that nice touchdown run. That's when things kind of got interesting. I'm not giving up on the Bears, Mike. The Weber State game sucked, the way the extra points were being missed and such. But I think they're going to be a better team this year. Now, Weber State lost to Southern Utah 47-42 last week. They didn't have their quarterback, though. So that might, maybe Weber State's not bad. They play CU this weekend.
You know, one thing that I'd like to know about is... UNC had a wide receiver who was lost this last game due to a targeting. Someone targeted him, and I saw him go down, and I was like, oh, crap, he looks like he's in pain.
Mm-hmm.
I think they ended up getting a field goal out of that drive. I'd like to know what his health is.
Who was that who went down?
I don't remember. One of their wide receivers.
Great analysis.
I know names, not.
Great analysis. You were at the game.
I was at the game. I was on that side of the field watching.
So I'm watching it on ESPN Plus, Mike, and the broadcasters didn't even know that Kenny Luth was out of the game. And I was like, wait a second. They keep saying Kenny with another nice throw, and I'm like, that's not him. That's not who it is.
I told Tanner this morning Tanner should replace them, because Tanner's way better
so
at that. He's done some games
for
us.
Are you trying to get Tanner out of KFK? Is that what you're trying to do?
No, I'm just saying, like, Tanner has done some good games. Tanner could do better than those guys. It's not a very high. It's like Tanner's really good, and then you have some incompetent people, and then you have me.
Faith says I saw Michael out in the wild. That had to be an experience.
It was. I ran into Faith.
OK.
Hang on, I gotta play my sound effect.
Cause I gotta have faith. That's there. Much better than the roaring thing you did earlier, which I like
the
that
Limp
song.
The Limp Bizkit version?
Yes, I like that version, but not a lot of our listeners will. 48 minutes after the hour, what did we learn coming up next on a busy Tuesday? We'll be right back.
Front Range Spare Change returns for the 2026 football season. Find podcasts on 1310KFK.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, we are going to do, we're going to do something different, not rankings, Mike. I just talked to the dude down the hall. So we are going to add the Broncos to this.
So Broncos number one.
No, they haven't played a game. So it's going to be the whole show stock watch. And right now, the team with the most stocks is CU, then CSU, then Air Force, and then Wyoming, and then UNC.
I actually think we should do a commodities watch.
The Rockies are not registering on the watch. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they've been kicked out of the hole and show 500.
So if the Broncos win on Monday night, that's gonna put them in the mix.
No matter what, they are.
You can't do that stupid thing. The Broncos are number, because you're not gonna be allowed to do this. You're not allowed to play.
By the way, it's Star Trek Day.
You didn't mention that until just now.
I knew you were gonna be fired up today and be wrong about a few things.
I bet those parties are really fun. You going to a party tonight? Is it just some guy's basement playing Dungeons and Dragons or something?
You know what? I went outside once this year, and I'm good.
So no Star Trek parties. What do you do on Star Trek Day? What do you do? Just watch Star Trek. What did we learn? CSU, hey, right now, slightly better than I thought. Wyoming, slightly worse than I thought. I don't know. It's week one. Week one can be a liar. UNC, not great right now, but I tell you what, you go up to Wyoming and you pull off a crazy upset, then everything flips. And if you do pull off that crazy upset, look out, Jay Sovell in Wyoming. Things are going to get kind of rough.
Yeah, quickly. I think UNC loses.
And don't run on the field. Don't go near players. Just leave. Just don't do it.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Just don't go near the players.
Okay? But players also don't assault fans.
Probably not, but don't go near the players. Just leave them be. They're pissed off.
I just wonder if one of those guys was like, the pile's over there, and didn't like see someone in yellow and white walking.
They need to put like traffic lights up for them. You know, kind of Simon Says with students. Think they'd understand that? I don't know. Doubt it.
Some of them might. All right,
we'll be back at it on a Wednesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.